All right, I guess we'll go ahead and get started. I have no idea how long it'll take me to get through this, so hopefully it's shorter rather than longer. But today I'm going to do something similar to what I did yesterday, which is tell you how terrible everything is. But there's plenty of hope, plenty of reason for hope. The terribleness of these early stage networks just means that we have a lot of work to do and a lot of challenges to overcome. So I'm Jameson Lopp, CTO of Casa, where our mission is to improve personal sovereignty. We're trying to do that from a multitude of different angles. One of them is through key management. The other one is through helping people operate fully validating nodes on these crypto networks. And one of the more exciting nodes that people are having fun experimenting with these days are Lightning nodes on the Lightning Network. And we have run into quite a few unanticipated challenges as a result of that. We started shipping out these Casa nodes in, I believe, early December of last year, and have gotten a lot of interesting feedback and support requests once they got out into the field. So, one of the issues that we are still dealing with is just security of these nodes. Lightning, if you're not familiar with it, is basically running a hot wallet on this online device, and we have issues where we're trying to help people be able to securely connect to it from outside of their home network. We have run into a few issues where super security and privacy conscious people can't even use the web interface we've created because they're blocking all of the scripts and stuff that we're using. That is something that we need to sort of automatically detect and help people realize that the problem is on their end. But from a network security standpoint, one thing that we have not yet deployed yet is just HTTPS support. So if you want to connect to your node from outside of the network right now, that is not recommended because we're not encrypting the traffic to your node. Now, the reason we're not doing that is because sure, we could just generate an SSL certificate on the node, but then if people tried to go to it, their browser would start complaining because it's self-signed. There's a whole issue there with figuring out how to create certificates that are tied to a domain, but these domains, of course, need to be somehow programmatically generated in a way that it can be sort of plug and play for the user and they don't have to do a lot of stuff on the command line. So that is something that we're still in the like designing phases for. We'll probably need to involve some sort of dynamic domain system as well. But what we have released recently is a browser extension, which you can see a little demo of on the right over here, which connects directly to our node. It takes your password for the node, and all of the traffic is actually encrypted, so you don't have to worry about man-in-the-middle attacks. The nice thing about this, compared to a lot of other lightweight Lightning clients and browser extensions, is that we have managed to get you connected to your Lightning node without having to expose the admin macaroon from the node, which is tantamount to another password. Whenever you're starting to have to like copy and paste private key data or passwords around, you start to open yourself up to security issues. Also, there's plenty of privacy issues. Right now, the default and what I believe most people are doing is running their nodes on ClearNet, so they're basically advertising their home IP address. This isn't necessarily a vulnerability, but it is, of course, making you a potential target. I have experimented with running behind VPNs, but unless you are running your own VPN or paying for a fairly expensive VPN, you can only do outgoing channels. It basically creates a network address traversal problem where nobody can come back in to whatever your VPN IP is and actually get that routed to your node. Talk a bit more about NAT problems in a bit. But the thing that we want to do long term to help improve that is to actually have Tor support built in on the device. Once again, it needs to be some sort of single click solution where we can't rely upon people having to get in on the command line and figure out how to install software. One of the biggest problems that we've actually run into is data integrity. And by that, I mostly mean integrity of the blockchain data, sometimes of the Lightning wallet data. We've run into a number of issues with Docker, actually. The way the Casa node works is that it has about 8 or 9 different Dockerized services that are running on it at any given time, and they're all working in concert and talking to each other. And we have a way for you to shut down the device cleanly, which basically sends commands to these Docker instances and tells them to shut down. But it wasn't until recently when I was trying to debug this because we were able to reproduce the data consistency problems that I actually was looking through the documentation and realized that Docker only gives you 10 seconds after you tell it to shut down before it just force kills any process. And what we really found out is that due to these running on Raspberry Pis, fairly low-powered hardware, it can very easily take more than 10 seconds to like stop the Bitcoin instance because it does a lot of checks when you tell it to shut down. Also running into power loss issues, that is basically causing the same type of problem where you might be in the middle of writing data and you have an unclean shutdown. So when you try to come back up after you get your power back, you have a corrupt chain state. We have run into so many issues with hard drive copying that we're probably going to end up writing a blog post specifically about that. But basically, figuring out ways of having high quality, like no data loss, no problems with the data being copied from a source drive to a destination drive hundreds and hundreds of times is something that is actually a lot more challenging than we thought. We've tried probably 6 or 7 different types of enterprise hard drive copying hardware, and most of them are pretty terrible for a variety of boring, low-level technical reasons. Hard drive failure has also been a problem. This, we hope, is mostly due to the fact that we've been using cheaper spindle-based drives. This is older technology, but trying to keep the cost of the node down is very difficult. A lot of people give us flack because it costs $300 to buy one of these nodes, but well over half of that is just for the hardware, and the rest of it is for our software development and support services. So it would be very easy for us to increase the cost if we wanted to get the power and the quality of these pieces to be even higher. We actually believe that the majority of issues where people are receiving nodes, plugging them in, and actually having failure to do initial boot is in fact due to shipping damage. That is not something that is very easy to track and figure out why, because of course we're sending these things all over the world, and they could be exposed to any number of different environmental problems or just crappy shippers who are throwing them on porches and in various containers when they're going across the ocean. So a result of a lot of these things, especially the things that are causing bad blockchain data, is that you then have to fix the data. And how do you fix the data when you're running it on a machine that takes a month to do a full sync from scratch? Well, one way we got around that is by offering a resync from Casa, where we're basically uploading snapshots to our own server that you can download and save a lot of time because it's not doing the verification of all of that data. Now, with these shipping issues, like we've said, a lot of the nodes which are passing our QA tests when we're packaging them up and shipping them off are arriving somewhere, and then the node is just not working, and it's very difficult to tell why. Well, amongst other things, we've discovered that customs in a lot of countries are pretty terrible. They're holding a number of these hostage and basically making the owners pay a lot more in value-added tax or custom fees or what have you. We have also had these certification issues, I think only in Germany. They've been the only ones where they've been complaining about us not having our own special certification stamps, which we found to be rather unexpected because we're not actually creating our own hardware. We're just using off-the-shelf Raspberry Pi and Western Digital drives, and those things already have certification stamps. And it was rather confusing to us that we would need to somehow get additional certification just for putting a few pre-certified pieces together. The reason that I have this shipping box here is that there was actually a Dutch bicycle manufacturing company a couple years ago that wrote a blog post where they noted that about 30% of the bicycles that they were shipping overseas, especially the ones that they were shipping to the United States, would arrive damaged. And this was, of course, causing them a lot of additional cost on their end and support issues and returns and whatnot. And they actually came up with a novel solution. They started shipping their bicycles in boxes that had a television on them because they realized that Americans love their televisions and the shipping services would be very, very careful if they thought that they were shipping a TV that might break and was worth thousands of dollars. So I don't know if we might need to somehow do something like that with the CASA nodes. We just need to figure out something that's, you know, fairly expensive but in about that same shape. We've also run into just a lot of English as a second language issues. Once again, it was kind of a nice surprise, but we don't offer any sort of internationalization support, either for our support services or for the UI or any of the instructions on the node. But this, you know, Lightning Network really is a global phenomenon, and we've probably shipped to several dozen different countries, if not more, at this point. And so, unfortunately, when some of those people who do not speak English as their native language end up receiving a node that's not working for some reason, it can make our support process a lot more complicated. So we knew ahead of time that this was going to be a little challenging because we're deploying hardware into unknown environments. I have over a decade of experience building web applications, but that has always been running in an infrastructure where I had full control over everything. So I could debug pretty much anything that was going wrong. So now these devices, they're running our software on our hardware, and they're going who knows where. And we've found a number of different common problems that we didn't quite expect, such as crappy power quality, basically people living in areas that they have power flickers that happen very often. This results in the node automatically rebooting, and something else I'll talk about a bit later is that while we can get the Bitcoin service coming back up and running, the Lightning service does not come back up because it requires a password to unlock the wallet. And of course, frequent reboots can also cause problems, once again, due to the low-powered nature of the device. And so users may log into their device and realize that it's like it's always seems to be syncing and trying to catch up because it's getting rebooted so often. Also, ISPs are all over the place with how they handle different things. A lot of ISPs, at least in first world countries, seem to be good at not rotating your IP address too often. But when the IP does change at your house, that can result in you needing to do a reboot in order for like the Lightning node to recognize that. Otherwise, any traffic that you were getting from other peers on the network might stop coming to you. Also, there's just so many different consumer-level routers out there that you know, some of them are easier to use than others. We'll talk a bit about NATs later, but here the idea that I'm trying to convey is that while a lot of users will just have one router at home and all of their devices are behind that, either wired or wireless, we have seen a number of issues where users will have a modem from their ISP, and that modem has a built-in router, and then they go buy another router, and they plug that router into the router, and so and you can even have a daisy chain of basically unlimited number of routers, and every time you have a new router, it creates this network address traversal problem, which is not really detectable. Like I'm not aware of any way for us to write software that can detect how many NATs you're behind, and so usually that will result in a support call where we have the user pull up their router's admin interface and we basically have to figure out their network architecture. Also, we attempt to make it easier for users to have a plug-and-play node by using this universal plug-and-play functionality, which, if it works, means that they don't have to go into their router and figure out how to do port forwarding, which is something almost nobody is going to know how to do unless they're really a techie person. But we've even found that universal plug-and-play, sometimes it'll work when you first plug it in, and then at some point over the next few weeks or months or whatever, it'll stop working. And so it's not quite as reliable as we would like. On a similar note, we try to make it easier for users to originally get to the dashboard of the Casa node by using the .local DNS service and basically telling the node to host itself on the Casa node.local. And this works sometimes, but once again, the .local domain is not supported by all DNS servers or all browsers or whatever, so it's just a kind of hit or miss type of thing, where if it doesn't work, then the user needs to somehow figure out what IP address this device has been given by their home router. And we recommend using tools like Angry IP Scanner, which seems to work about 90%+ of the time. But if that doesn't work, then ultimately they're going to have to go into their router's administrative interface and try to find the list of connected devices, which for the non-technical users is going to require a support call. Like I said, universal plug-and-play is finicky. Here's one, I guess this is one of the Netgear router's interfaces for creating port forwarding. And of course, if you don't know anything about networking and you're just given, you know, a bunch of blank boxes, then you're probably going to be lost here. Some of the newer routers and firmware do at least make it easier where they give you drop-down options. But usually the drop-down options are for like very common services or gaming protocols or whatever. Like you're not going to find a router that says, hey, here's how you set up port forwarding for Lightning. Like there's no routers out there that support that. But maybe one day. Also, we found that, strangely enough, Apple really sucks. Like their Airport Extreme and other networking stuff, you know, they're so good at writing nice user interfaces for everything else, but for some reason it just doesn't translate to their networking technology. And we've had a number of very long support calls trying to help debug Apple networking. Also, Raspberry Pi, I guess due to its global nature, it comes with a Wi-Fi chip on it, but it's disabled by default because of various regulations of like the FCC and other countries with their similar regulatory bodies regulating the wavelengths that certain devices can operate on. And so it won't let you enable Wi-Fi unless you specifically tell it what country it's working in. So for simplicity, we just don't bother with that at all and tell people to just plug it into their router directly with the Ethernet cable. On the LND side, I mean, this is still a piece of software that is evolving pretty quickly. We've run into several issues that have occurred in like some of the newer versions, though there was, I guess, a very recent release just in the past week or so that we'll need to start testing. But once again, due to the sort of underpowered nature of the Raspberry Pi, we've seen occasional issues where like the generation of a seed phrase on LND uses up more RAM than is available, causes it to crash. We've also seen some various panics within LND related to what's called the birthday bug that can cause a crash. We've also had an issue with our build pipeline where we have not been able to build LND for the ARM architecture in AWS. We're hoping that we'll be able to get that working soon because I think AWS is rolling out ARM-specific servers. The real problem was trying to build ARM architecture on an Intel x86 server. And of course, like I said, LND has to be unlocked in order for it to get onto the network and start doing stuff. So we don't really have a solution for this at the moment. Like we could, of course, store the password on the device, but that's kind of terrible from a security standpoint. Autopilot. It is very early. Autopilot is extremely naive, and it just like tries to connect to as many nodes as possible right now. There's a lot of work to be done on making it more efficient and actually making it better than what you could do with a human. So, you know, we've seen stuff like from Alex Bosworth where he's manually curated channels, or Pierre Rochard has manually curated channels with each other, with other people on the network. And that actually seems to be a better way to organize your channels at the moment. But of course, over the long run, this technology is never going to go mainstream if people have to worry about channels and channel management. I don't think there's any technical reason why we can't improve the logic behind autopilot. We just need to have more data. We need to continue running this experiment and figuring out how the liquidity issues on the Lightning Network play out. And so it is reckless. We have a disclaimer when you initialize your node that you should not put more money on it than you're willing to lose. But I think part of the reason that people can easily be reckless is that we've conditioned users to believe that if they have the recovery seed, then they can always get all their money back. But the current state of Lightning Network, at least with L&D's wallet implementation, and as far as I'm aware, the other popular ones as well, is that the recovery phrase is only for your on-chain funds. And if you have funds in the channel and something happens and you lose all of your wallet data, then you're not going to be able to recover the funds that were in that channel. And we've had a few users who have had hardware issues, and we've basically had to do manual data recovery for them. I myself lost a little bit of Bitcoin a few weeks ago when I was testing some chain resync and reset features that accidentally wiped my L&D wallet as well. So when people say reckless, they're not just being lighthearted. It really is a reckless thing to put a lot of money into Lightning Network at the moment. And so like I said, the low-powered hardware combined with a lot of these other issues kind of compound upon each other. It also creates an issue just with our user experience where people only really have an attention span of a few seconds. And so if you're sluggish in giving responses to clicking on things, which can easily happen on Raspberry Pi, that creates a problem. As we've had power users create hundreds and hundreds of channels on their node, then they can very easily get to the point where the Raspberry Pi is struggling even to keep up with the traffic on the network. And this is sort of an uptime graph from one of our users who was seeing that it was getting so slow that it was becoming unresponsive on the Bitcoin network. User error, you know, this is the setup guide for the node. It's five steps. But there are so many things that can go wrong just with plugging in the hard drive cable, plugging in the Ethernet cable, plugging in the power. How have we seen things go wrong? Well, we've seen users not plug in the hard drive. We've seen them plug in some other power cord from who knows what. We've seen them plug the hard drive into other computers, which then screw up the data on the drive. And the biggest problem we've had is that right now, a lot of our early adopters are extremely technically proficient, and they want to experiment, and so they get in on the command line, start installing other software that just completely breaks our entire setup. I actually accidentally broke my node because I tried to install Pi-hole on it, and that just screwed with all the network settings to the point that the node was no longer routing data with our dashboard service. So complexity, of course, is the enemy of security in general. We're trying to make this extremely, extremely complex software and networking stack as simple as possible, but there's still a lot of work to do. And I think that we're going to be busy working on this for quite a while. So Lightning Network still has a lot of potential, but is still a work in progress. And if any of you are interested in joining the reckless train, then feel free to talk to me or ping us at Casa, and we'll be happy to help you get onto this new experimental network. Thanks.